Today on Bread for the Broken with James Grizzle, pastor of Calvary Chapel, Galveston.
That is one of the promises from Jesus that you can definitely bank on. Now, it's not one that we want to bank on. Nobody wants that. Nobody's printing that out on throw pillows or whatever, right? Because we don't want to suffer. But suffering is a part of the experience. So as Paul and Barnabas are experiencing suffering at the hands of others, they're not running away. They're not running for their lives. They're just, okay, you don't want what we have to offer to you, then we're just going to move on.
As believers and followers of Christ, we've been promised to experience persecution, rejection, and mockery from the world. However, this should by no means discourage us from setting out to fulfill the calling that we've received from Christ. In today's message, Pastor James reflects on the rejection that Paul and Barnabas experienced in their missionary journey. In his study, you'll learn that when you experience rejection for the sake of Christ, the best thing to do is to simply move on. Now here's Pastor James in the book of Acts chapter 14 with today's edition of Bread for the Broken.
Chapter 14 is where we're going to be. We're going to be talking about this familiar story, somewhat familiar story, I guess. It's from Paul and Barnabas's first missionary journey. Now, there's an issue that pops up from this story that happens for these guys, and it's kind of a case of mistaken identification, okay? They are seen as something or someone that they're not, and I was actually reading through some stories, and I heard about this zoo that had started this this training program, so to speak. They really wanted their staff to be prepared in case an animal escaped, and so they decided they're gonna dress someone up in an animal suit. This happened to be a gorilla costume. They put this 35-year-old staff member of theirs in the gorilla costume and kind of set him loose. Unfortunately, they forgot to tell the vet that they were gonna do this, and the vet was prepared for anything and pulled out his trank gun and tranquilized this 35-year-old man and spent some time in the hospital, but he made it out of it. Now, that's just a comical, humorous, mistaken identification kind of a story. They're very common from what I've discovered in just reading about them. In this story with the Apostle Paul and with Barnabas, the crowd's going to get it wrong again. But their turn on these guys is going to take place rather quickly. So Acts chapter 14, we're picking up. This is the first missionary journey from Paul and Barnabas, and they're continuing on. Now, they've had a group of Jews that have been following them around, stirring up trouble and all that good stuff, pushing them out of towns and all that. But that's fine because the gospel continues to progress and gets introduced to other communities. So in verse 1, it says this: Now at Iconium, they entered together into the Jewish synagogue and spoke in such a way that a great number of both Jews and Gentiles, or Jews and Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds with or against the brothers. So they remained for a long time, speaking boldly for the Lord, who bore witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews and some with the apostles. When an attempt was made by both Gentiles and Jews with their rulers to mistreat them and stone them, they learned of it and they fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia and the surrounding country. And there they continued to preach the gospel. So this is just kind of par for the course. Paul and Barnabas are going around, they're preaching the gospel. They're doing all this stuff. Trouble gets stirred up, and so the lead in half of the town gets motivated by the Jews here to persecute them. And they're plotting to kill them. They're plotting to take their lives. You don't just stone somebody as punishment. You stone them so that you can kill them. And so there was a plot that was conceived, and these guys get word of it, and so they just move on to the next town. But I want you to understand, they're not running for their lives. Paul and Barnabas are not running for their lives. So these guys are coming against them. There's tribulation, which, by the way, if you're a Christian, that is one thing that you can absolutely count on, is there's going to be difficult times within your lives. That is one of the promises from Jesus that you can definitely bank on. Now, it's not one that we want to bank on. Nobody wants that. Nobody's printing that out on throw pillows or whatever, right? Because we don't want to suffer. But suffering is a part of the experience. So as Paul and Barnabas are experiencing suffering at the hands of others, they're not running away. They're not running for their lives. They're just, okay, you don't want what we have to offer to you, then we're just going to move on. We'll move on. We'll shake the dust off of our feet, so to speak. We've already seen them do that. And they're just going to move on to another city. And they're going to continue to do the same thing. They're going to continue to speak boldly for the Lord. You and I can continue to speak boldly for the Lord, even in these great states of the United States of America, where it seems like, you know, praise God where we live, because we get to do this. We get to do a drive-in service. And in other states, I guess it's a little more challenging, a little more difficult. I understand that churches can get discouraged by that, and believers can get discouraged by that. Listen, we can still continue to speak boldly. There's just different avenues that we're learning that we need to go down in order to do that. So continue speaking boldly for the Lord. Continue to proclaim the grace of God. That's something that our world desperately needs to hear more of, is that this God that we serve, he's a gracious God. He's a God who loves. He's a God who forgives. He's a God who demonstrates love or his grace towards us each and every day. His unmerited, unearned favor within our lives. I need to hear that message day in and day out. Our beautiful town that we live in and the communities from where some of you guys are coming from, they need to be reminded, or they need to know maybe for the first time, that God is a gracious God. He's a gracious God. Now, he's a just God for sure. And we believe and we hope and we pray, along with John, who the Lord used to pen that great book of Revelation, that we pray he's coming back soon, you know, and that he will return soon, because justice has to be done. But until then, because right now is not that day, right now is not that moment, it could be today, who knows, God is pouring out grace and mercy. And it's a beautiful thing. And so Paul and Barnabas are going around. They're speaking boldly for the Lord. They're testifying of his grace. And God is granting them signs and wonders to really to back up the message. They're also just proclaiming the gospel. Simple. Wherever they go, proclaiming the gospel. The fact that God would come on a rescue mission here to this earth to die for sinners, to be the perfect sacrifice for sinners, and to raise from the grave 3 days later, and to make access, make a way to where this relationship with him can be renewed and restored. And that's the key to the gospel, is the incarnation, God becoming man. Okay, now that's key to the next part of the story. So in Lystra, where they moved on to, they're continuing on. They're preaching the gospel. Now, we don't know totally what the scene is or the scenario is. We don't know if Paul is preaching to a crowd or if he's just sharing to individuals about Jesus. But there's one man who hears this message and it resounds within his heart. It says, now at Lystra, there was a man sitting who could not use his feet. He was crippled. He was born crippled. Crippled from birth and never walked. So that's another key to this miraculous event. This guy has literally never taken a step in his life. We don't know if there was an accident when he was born or what was going on, or just some sort of genetic defect, kind of. But the guy has never taken a step in his life. He says he was listening to Paul speak. And Paul, looking intently at him and seeing that he had the faith to be made well. So Paul identifies this within the guy who's listening to him talk. He sees this guy, makes eye contact with this guy, and identifies the fact that this guy believes what I'm saying. This guy believes that not only in the gospel, but the fact that, man, the Lord Jesus can do anything, even restore a crippled man's feet. Paul, looking at him intently and seeing that he had faith to be made well, said in a loud voice, "Stand upright on your feet." And he, the man, sprang up and began walking. Right? So this isn't the first time we've seen this. We saw Peter do somewhat of a similar thing. But here's Paul, he's sharing the gospel, he's sharing about Jesus to either a crowd or to an individual. This guy is listening to the conversation, which is a good key for us, an application point for us, you should be aware of the conversations that you're having with others. Not so much with the individual, although you should, but maybe concerning those who are around who may be listening in on your conversation. Now, I know these days that's kind of a rare thing because we can't really meet with each other. And if we can, it's got to be 6 feet distance and all that good stuff. The point of it is you never know who's listening. You never know who's listening. So that could be good and bad, right? If you've ever found yourself in a situation where you may be complaining, maybe at work you're complaining about your boss, and little do you know that he's standing right behind you in earshot and can hear everything, right? You don't want that. Nobody wants that. So be careful concerning your conversations because this, you never know who's listening. You never know who's listening. And in this scenario, Paul is talking about Jesus and this guy who happens to be, I don't want to say eavesdropping, but he's listening in on this conversation. And Paul identifies within this guy, like, look, you know that the Lord can heal you. Get up. Stand up on your feet. And the guy sprang up. He hopped up. He jumped up. Never has used his feet before in his life. Has never walked. Has never taken a step. He never had that moment in his life, those toddler years, where he got to take maybe one step and then fall on his backside. Maybe two steps and fall on his backside. He never had that experience. Never. But in an instant, his feet are restored. They're made new. And he springs up and he is walking around. These types of miracles are kind of a representation of what happens within our lives when Jesus is welcomed into our lives. Because before Jesus, you're nothing but you're busted up. You're in a broken body, so to speak. And when Jesus comes into your life, when you accept Jesus, when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have the ability, because in an instant, he can transform you into a new creation where you can spring up and you can walk around. That's what Christianity is. That's what giving your life to the Lord Jesus is. So that's kind of represented through this miracle. But this miracle also testifies of the fact that God was with these guys. He was absolutely with them. And he was proving it. And again, these are just part of that, signs and wonders. So what about signs and wonders now? Right? So where are we seeing these anymore? Yeah, we do see them. We absolutely do see them. Do we see them to this extent? Well, in some areas of our world, absolutely. But just because it may not happen when you show up to a Sunday morning service doesn't mean it's not happening at all, okay? The other side of this is there's a lot of times transformations are happening in an instant that we're not always aware of. Because sometimes when you're sitting in your car and you're listening to this guy talk about Jesus and sharing about the fact that he rose from the grave, he came and he died on the cross for your sins and he rose from the grave, you have no idea what may be happening within the heart of an individual sitting in their car, or maybe for an individual who is sitting at home watching right now through Facebook Live or on our Boxcast app or on our Calvary Galveston website. We don't know, but these miracles are still happening because the greatest miracle is a heart that is transformed by Jesus. So what a great moment. What a great, shot of adrenaline for these guys, right? They walk into this new place and this guy gets healed and he's walking around. He's a walking, witness, a testimony, born cripple, has faith in the Lord Jesus, not in Paul, but he had faith in Jesus and he gets healed. So here's the crowd's response. It says, and when the crowd saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices saying in Lyconian, this is their language, the gods have come down to us. They're celebrating the incarnation. Now, this is their own incarnation. We're dealing with Greeks here, and we're going to be dealing with Greek mythology. But as far as they understand, their gods that they worshipped have now taken on human form and are walking in their midst. Our gods have come down to us in the likeness of men. Barnabas, they called Zeus, and Paul, Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. So just so you know, Zeus, not that you need to have a great understanding of Greek mythology. It is something that at one point in time in my life certainly fascinated me. I still read up on it every so often. even though I might get disapproving looks. I'm not a believer in Greek mythology. Okay, you can rest assured of that. I just like understanding what people believe and why they believe that. Okay, because at one point in time, a large majority or portion of our world believed in these false deities. Zeus being the god of the sky, oftentimes signified by lightning and thunder, the king of all other gods and men. He's like the king of kings for the Greeks concerning Greek mythology. And Zeus had, he had many children. One of his children was Hermes, and that's the son of Zeus. He's the messenger of the gods, okay? So he's the chief speaker. And so that's why these guys are thinking like, I'm not sure why they labeled Barnabas as Zeus, but they did. Probably because Paul did all the talking. So they're like, well, this guy's got to be Zeus because this guy surely is Hermes. So they identify him as part of their false gods. Now, they are Zeus and Hermes don't really exist. I hope you know that. I don't think I need to say that, but they don't really exist, okay? So here's Paul, here's Barnabas, and these guys are beginning to worship them. That's very dangerous ground for preachers. Crowd worship. That's very dangerous ground for preachers. That's a constant danger for preachers, in case you are not aware of that. Anytime a crowd will gather, now we understand within the church world that, and we hope and we pray that individuals are gathering because they want to worship Jesus and because they want to hear from the Word of God and they want the Lord to speak to their hearts, and he's going to use some foolish vessel, a clay jar, right? Just a clay pot to communicate that vessel. However, oftentimes we can get it skewed, right? And we can turn our pastors into celebrities. And unfortunately, at times, some of our pastors will embrace that, okay? So it's very dangerous ground. It's very dangerous. Here's Paul and Barnabas. They're being identified as gods. And now these guys they're preparing to worship them. It says that the priest of Zeus, Zeus would have been the chief god of this town. So you can imagine how stoked they are that, hey, our God has come down to us. Which again, remember, we just celebrated that last week with Easter. How quick, you know, there's always going to be a deception. The greatest deception, case of mistaken identity, is still to come. And that's when the Antichrist comes and people begin to label him as the Messiah and begin to worship him as the Messiah. Mistaken identity. The Messiah's already came. And he's coming back, but not in the way that most of mankind believes, okay? So here's the priest of Zeus, whose temple was at the entrance of the city. He brought oxen and garlands to the gates and wanted to offer sacrifice with the crowd. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of it, they tore their garments and rushed out into the crowd, crying out, "Men, why are you doing these things? We also are men of like nature with you. And we bring you good news that you should turn from these vain things to a living, actual God who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. In past generations, he allowed the nations to walk in their own ways, yet he did not leave himself without witness. For he did good by giving you rains from the heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness." Even with these words, they scarcely restrained the people from offering sacrifice to them. So I love their response, right? Paul and Barnabas's response. They rush into the crowd immediately to set things straight. They're like, you're not going to worship us. And they were so disturbed by the fact that these people would even try to worship them that they're physically tearing their own garments. Paul and Barnabas have a great understanding that the only one who deserves to be worshiped, the only one who deserves to be praised is Jesus. At no moment within our lives should we ever welcome the praise of men. We should always be deflecting that onto Jesus, right? And that's a difficult thing. And I could speak as a pastor. It's a hard thing, so to speak, because you may give a message that's great. I don't know, however you define what a great message is. I'm not sure yet. But people are encouraged by it. And they want to say, oh, you know what? Such a good message and all that stuff. That's an awkward position for a pastor, because immediately I know within my heart, I'm like, no. Look, if anything good comes out of me, it's all because of Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, that's an absolute true statement, all right? If God can do anything good out of any of us, all praise goes to him. Because I don't know about you guys, but I can speak for myself. I'm a mess. I don't even know how God does half of the things he does in and through me. I'm a wreck, and I'm always surprised by the fact that he even chose me. So if anything good comes out of result of this mess, all praise goes to him. All praise goes to him. So may that be our heart. Maybe that be our attitudes, okay? And it's not that you can't receive compliments. I'm not saying that, right? I'm not saying that. Nor should you go around thinking, like, if you show up to a church and you hear the pastor give a good message, it doesn't mean that you need to go to him and be like, hey, stay humble, you know, what or whatever, right? Like, maybe he needs to or whatever. But you can compliment for sure. But we all know within our hearts, we need to make sure that we're directing all praise to the Lord. Billy Graham, he used to say, and this is one thing that stuck within my heart and my mind as soon as I got saved, but I read this from Billy Graham. He says, for ministers, for anybody who serves within the church, there are the three G's you have to stay away from. And that's the gold, right? Keep your hands off the gold, right? Don't have, you know, pastors, you know, and I'm not talking about how you do your finances or anything like that. We have other people that handle all our finances here, all the tithes that you guys give. I don't see them. I don't even know. I have no clue. I don't know what you give, if you give. That's not my business, okay? That's between you and the Lord. But we do have people that handle that stuff, okay? So I don't touch the gold. Don't touch the girls. That's another one, right? Because all three of these things that I'm going to name have brought down many strong believers, okay? For sure. Don't touch the girls, right? Stay away from that. Don't fall into that trap. Keep safe distance, accountability, all that good stuff. The last G in that list is the glory. Don't touch the gold. Don't touch the girls. Don't touch the glory. And when we mess up, any one of those three can take anybody out for sure. But the one we don't think that much about, we oftentimes neglect, is the glory. Paul and Barnabas are like, no. You're not going to worship us. No, this is crazy. In fact, let us tell you about the one you should be worshiping, the one true living God who created the heavens and the earth. And notice, if you're reading through Acts, you know that their message to these Greeks is totally different from their message to the Jews. Paul's going to address, he's going to go back to Genesis, so to speak, but he's going to let these guys know, hey, this one living God that we worship, he created the earth, he created the skies, he created all this stuff. He's created all this stuff. He's made the rain that produced your crops. He has been blessing you from the day you've been born. Any blessings that you have in your life, they're all due to him. They're all due to him. And so they convey this message to this crowd, but it says, the end of that section there, even with these words, they scarcely restrained the people from offering a sacrifice to him. They couldn't control these guys. They had lost it. They're going all out. I mean, they're slaughtering bulls probably right there in the street. They're celebrating song and dance and all that good stuff. But it doesn't take long for that celebration to totally stop. And here's where this crowd, this group of Jews that have been following them, they show up. It says, but Jews came from Antioch and Iconium. So these guys have been following them every step of the way. You ever feel like you're being trailed by the enemy every single step of the way in your life and walking with Jesus, right? Let me tell you this. If you don't feel that, then that's where you need to stop and say, okay, Lord, what's not right in my life? Okay? Because listen, nobody wants to be trailed by the enemy, so to speak, but he's only going to follow those who are a threat. Okay?
Hope to the hopeless, hopeless, red for the broken.
You've been listening to another edition of Bread for the Broken with Pastor James Grizzle. We're so glad that you joined us as we learned about the early church in the book of Acts together. What an incredibly powerful book of God's faithfulness. If you'd like to listen to today's teaching again or hear more teachings from Pastor James, visit breadforthebroken.com and click on the Teachings tab. While you're there, you'll also be able to learn more about the church behind this ministry, Calvary Chapel Galveston. If you're ever in the Galveston area, we would love to have you visit. We meet each Sunday at 10 a.m. and Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. for worship and Bible study. Our atmosphere is pretty relaxed, so we invite you to come just as you are. For directions and to learn more about us, just visit breadforthebroken.com. We would also love to connect with you. Just drop us a note in the contact form to let us know if you've been blessed by this ministry. Would you also prayerfully consider partnering with us in this ministry? Support from people like you allows us to share the gospel in unique and amazing ways. If you'd like to donate, visit breadforthebroken.com and click on the donations tab. Any and all donations are welcome and greatly appreciated. We thank you in advance for your generosity in partnering with what God is doing. Our website one more time is breadforthebroken.com. Well, that's all the time we have for today, but be sure to tune in again next time as Pastor James teaches more from the book of Acts right here on Bread for the Broken.
Let me paint the picture of humans, the one love there.